Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman Report. It is Tuesday, March 5th. 2024 Super Tuesday for those who are encumbered by or interested in the political world in here in the United States, and as well you should be. But a few things upon my return from my mission, along with some downtime. I wanted to say yesterday, but I really didn't get the opportunity to really process a lot of the information. It's a lot of information to process. You know, here we are, because Eric the Tech did join me for a short period of time, too short, actually. I could have used another week of Eric the Tech with me, I'll tell you that. By the way, Eric the Tech, how are you doing today?
Doing good.
You're looking fine. You will not believe. By the way, I'm going to speak to you, Eric the Tech. How many people want you to accompany me to the conference in Wisconsin? April 12th. What is it, April? Yeah, it's mid-April. I apologize. Go to WisconsinChristianNews.com. In fact, click on the link. I'm going to be there in person. Folks, I'm going to be bringing again with me to that conference actual evidentiary material from an evidence locker that will blow your minds. Never before seen evidence. Now, look, I'm not going to bring the gory things, okay, necessarily. So don't be afraid if you have children. It's going to be fine. You'll know as an adult whether to allow the children to see the evidence. And again, I don't really see a problem with it. I've deliberated my mind about what to take, but this involves proof of satanic ritual abuse. And I remember just getting all sorts of a blowback from speaking about the children who are in cages. And this is what today's program is going to be in part about. What's really taking place because of, as a result, direct consequence of, and a deliberate consequence of the southern border. And to a lesser extent, folks, let's not forget about the northern border, but just hold that thought. But the issue that I'm trying to relate, there's two issues. This conference in Wisconsin is going to be extremely special. I ask if you can attend, not just for me, my goodness. Sometimes, frankly, I know my wife, but sometimes I don't even want to walk across the street to say hello to me. This is going to be very special. Very special to the conference attendees. I'm going to I'm committed to bring forth evidence never before seen outside of a courtroom, okay? Never before seen outside of a very small group of people that will explain, help you understand exactly what is driving the evil of the right and the left, the globalists. You know, what's at the core? What's at the epicenter of this? Well, you're going to see it firsthand. And by the way, just so you know, all of the objects, all of the items of evidence have been prayed over. Okay, and many, many, many times, as they will be again. Because there's some dark stuff, man. I'm telling you. So I would urge you, if you are within a day's drive or a flight to Wausau, Wisconsin, again, mid-April, please join me. Now, again, the reason I brought this up is many people have wanted to see Eric the Tech, attend as well. Folks, he's welcome to attend. Let me just say this. The one thing I don't like, believe it or not, it's hard to believe, I know, but I don't like the spotlight. I would prefer, and I spent 35 plus years avoiding the spotlights as a private investigator, hence the word private. You stay in the shadows, and I prefer that. So I've received your emails. The invitation is out to Eric the Tech. He has got a lot of things going on. He's got assignments because, again, I'm not a journalist. I'm an investigator sitting in front of a microphone. I'm a credentialed investigator working cases. Specifically now, having retired from working with Fortune 100 companies, again, this is just so the new people who suddenly found this program, and I'm getting emails from people saying, "Hey, last time I heard you was like 10 years ago." I don't know how to explain what's going on, but I'm just hearing from people saying, "What's going on with you? What are you doing now?" So I've stopped working for the corporate entities. I've stopped working pretty much everything except I have taken equivocal death investigations, meaning is it a homicide, suicide, or accident? What you know, that kind of stuff. But primarily I'm engaged in working with groups and individuals attempting to save the victims of child trafficking, of which there are, and I know this word is used improperly often, but the number has exponentially increased. And if you haven't seen the video from early last month when I had just arrived in Palm Beach County, about AFIA, I would urge you to go to Hagman PI. And on the right, there's a navigation bar where you can find all of the shows that we've done. And just scroll down to that particular episode and listen to that, because and pray for AFIA. Because there's some things going on there, folks, that we have done our level best to fight in the have the fight in the court system, have the fight legitimate. But at this point, not me, but AFIA has been pushed into a corner, and it's untenable. Again, more on that, you can find more on that at HagmanPI.com. Now, I'm back at the studio, and one thing I wanted to really convey to you folks in the interest of transparency, and I I'm not a public speaker, okay? So sometimes I say stuff kind of Biden-esque, in a Biden-esque way. Maybe not as bad, but, or maybe worse, I don't know. But I'm really trying to think of how to best communicate all of the information, all of the research, all of the contacts, all of the conversations, all of the visuals, all of the everything that I was able to really see for myself in the quasi-political sphere. It's more than that. It's not politics. It's culture. It's politics. It's good versus evil. And there's so much prevalent evil out there. But I have to say, as a positive note, there's a lot of good out there. But to be immersed in that, in the situation where you've got, like, I had to see this for myself. I have to talk to people. I have to see their expressions. That's the kind of person I am. A Zoom call just ain't going to cut it. A telephone call's not going to cut it. Face-to-face is the only way. In some cases, making sure that conversations are not recorded. There's no selfies. No. There's no there's nothing but just direct communication in the manner in which I believe is necessary. But to be honest, totally transparent with you, I am uncertain how to put everything into easily understood, easily digestible portions. I do know this. A person I look up to, I've never met this individual. It goes by the name of Sundance from Conservative Treehouse. Recently, came back after a trip. It's my understanding. Look, I don't know if this was I don't know much about his research, field research, but I do know. This is one of the things, if you know, you know. Okay. There are things behind password protected sites and some communications. If you know, you know. And I feel the same way he does, where the things that you learn, it's almost unfathomable. Unfathomable. Yeah, let me pronounce my words correctly. I'm sorry, Sister Mary Joseph. Don't hit me with a leather strap. Well, she was nice. Sister Anna Marie was she was the one. But the last several weeks have completely changed the way I am currently looking at the world in which we live. Does that sound like an overstatement, like hyperbole? But maybe it does. But it's how I feel. You know, over the course of what I'm doing now, I've met numerous people, hundreds of people. I've had hundreds of interviews. I've had hundreds of conversations, several hundred conversations on and off air, a lot of off air stuff that really gives you the bottom line as to what's going on. And what I can tell you as I look off to my left, because I had to gather my thoughts for this, and my thoughts are on my right, I should say, your left. My mind is full of information as a result of the last several weeks. Maybe a lot of this information was not direct. It was indirect that I received. And you could be saying, well, spill it. Will you give us the information? You know, one of the things, I know Dan Bongino talks about this, where Darren Beatty talks about this as well. If you have people or a person who confides in you, and that person gives you information. And I ran into this as an operational asset for the Department of Justice and FBI back in the 1990s. If you receive certain information confidentially, merely giving that information out publicly can put that person or those people in positions that it could put them in dire straits, because there are only so many people know the information they know and where it comes from. So I'm not about to endanger anyone, put anyone on the line. I think it was last week where Dan Bongino was talking about virtually the same thing. But like anyone else, I need to, at this point, even decompress. Although, hey, I tried to, and I successfully did decompress for, I'm going to say 5 days, because it was just 5 days of just trying to wrap my head around what I had just investigated and learned and everything. My path, the path that was given to me, God is good, because God will put people, and I believe this for you, the listener, the viewer, God will put people, if you go out and if you make the effort to find information or to do things, God will put the people in your path. God will guide your steps. If you are truly committed to the truth or committed to serving His will and not your own. I know this sounds a little bit rambling-like, but it's difficult to explain. There are people that I spoke to who have been incarcerated and out because of their run-ins with the communist weaponized Department of Justice. There are people I've spoken with who are active. And this man I can name, Michael Yon, from one of the bravest individuals and one of the most informed individuals I've ever had the pleasure and honor to speak with and to communicate with. And I received a very rare invitation from him, which I hope to be taking up again later. I'm not going to even get into that, because that, of course, is his business, not mine. But I just want to say that even from that, the information I glean from that can be spilled out completely. But I'm concerned about the way this country, about what is happening in this country, and getting into really getting into it right away. I want to mention something from yesterday, because this, I believe, this is something that is somewhat of a ticking time bomb. This is something of a head fake. And I know Dan Bongino spoke about it today in his program today. I know he kind of, there were some implications yesterday, but today he spoke about it. And that's the fact that the left, the communist left, the embedded communists in this country, they are not going to stop until they destroy completely in this apocalyptic. They would rather rule over the ashes of our constitutional republic than to allow anyone else to rule over a thriving nation. You've got to wrap your head around that. They want to rule over the ashes. They don't care if you live, die, suffer, or whatever. In fact, they would prefer you die. Please understand what I'm saying to you. We are currently in the most precarious, the most dangerous, the most sobering time in recent American history. I cannot say that any lighter than that. And if that bums you out, I'm sorry. I'm here to give you the good news, the bad news, and my interpretation of both. But yesterday, of course, we had that glorious 9-0 SCOTUS ruling, correct? As Bongino said today, that was kind of a grounder, using a baseball metaphor, by the given to and handled by the Supreme Court. And of course, as you know, the Supreme Court, 9 people on the court, you've got party lines, I suppose, 5-4, with the bias toward the Republican, not conservative necessarily. The exceptions being Thomas and Alito. They're true conservatives. I do believe that. The other two, a little iffy, and then the 4, of course, you know. So yesterday we found that 9-0, that one Secretary of State in Colorado, and this is a message to all of them, cannot keep a presidential candidate, specifically President Donald John Trump, from the ballot. So everyone is high-fiving, slapping on the back, each other on the back. What a win. And as Dan says, and as others say, you know, we'll take that win, but it's not going to stop there. And that win is coming at a cost. Oh, folks, the left, the communists, I cannot call the Democrats and those who support the Democrats, I cannot call them Democrats anymore. They're not Democrats. They're communists. They're either communists through and through, or they're communist leaning, or communist facilitators. But they want this country destroyed. And moreover, they hate the United States. More importantly, they hate you, and they hate me, and they hate Eric the Tech. And you know what else they hate? They hate our children and grandchildren. Until you understand that, man, there's nowhere, no other starting point than right there. But let's get into briefly, excuse me, what really I didn't get into yesterday, pardon me, with the Supreme Court decision. Following the 9-0 decision, which some liberals, their heads were exploding. Other liberals were seething. But the communists, liberals, communists, Democrats, whatever, again, I call them communists, but I don't want to lose anyone just tuning in. And to those monitoring this program, I certainly want to be clear to you who are surveilling this program for nefarious purposes, at least nefarious to me and to Eric the Tech and to our families, that you're communists. But I'm speaking to the in their vernacular Democrats. The best I can give to you with response to that decision, aside from the statement, assertive statement, that they're not going to stop coming after Donald Trump. They cannot allow him to become, they cannot allow him through the doors of that White House again. Understand that. They cannot allow him to get in the White House. And they will not stop. It's like one of the, it's like whack-a-mole with sledgehammers and real live, you know, blobs. They're going to keep coming, and they're intent on becoming successful. But the best I can offer you is a few minute clip, and this would be in the program notes at HagmanPI.com. This would be cut four of President Trump's remarks after the Supreme Court Colorado landslide decision. And again, everyone's backslapping. Everyone's high-fiving for that decision. But that was just a ground ball. That was just a nothing play. But within that decision, there were gates left open. And I referenced briefly yesterday with Amy Coney Barrett. Now, she was one of the four. But I would urge you, it's on HagmanPI.com, I would urge you to read that decision and read the dissenting opinions or the dissenting remarks. Despite the win, they're kind of, look at the intent of that decision. I'm not a lawyer. I've spent my life around lawyers. Certainly I'm not a judge, but I've spent a lot of time in front of judges. There's something about this that's not sitting well with me. And you know who else is not sitting well with? President Donald Trump. But it's not the 9-0 Supreme Court case. It's what is, it's the doors that are open from that. Or maybe because of that. I had a discussion with my wife last night. She said, well, accept the win. Accept the fact that we won. And I said, I'd love to, but you know me. You've known me for 40 years, basically. Folks, I want you to listen to what President Trump says. This is about 4 minutes, four valuable minutes. This is not about the. He acknowledges the decision, but then he moves on to the immunity case. Think about the 9-0 decision. Wow. Even Jackson Brown, I'm joking, of course, who probably wrote her response or her part in crayon, even she voted. It was unanimous. And think about Roberts, the more intellectual, obviously, of the two. Could this be a situation where Roberts said, you know, give him this one, because what we're going to deliver, we've got to make sure we appear nonpartisan. So give him this one, Jujambi. Give him this one, Sonia. Think about that when you listen to President Trump, and this is cut four.
And while we're on the subject, and another thing that will be coming up very soon will be immunity for a president, and not immunity for me, but for any president. If a president doesn't have full immunity, you really don't have a president, because nobody that is serving in that office will have the courage to make, in many cases, what would be the right decision, or it could be the wrong decision. It could be, in some cases, the wrong decision, but they have to make decisions, and they have to make them free of all terror that can be rained upon them when they leave office or even before they leave office. And some decisions are very tough. I can tell you that as a president, that some decisions to make are very tough. I took out ISIS, and I took out some very big people from the standpoint of a different part of the world. Two of the leading terrorists, probably the two leading terrorists ever that we've ever seen in this world. And those are big decisions. I don't want to be prosecuted for it. Another president wouldn't want to be prosecuted for it. It had a tremendously positive impact. It stopped everything cold. And sometimes you have to make them. They were tough decisions. Sometimes you have to make decisions like that. When you make a decision, you don't want to have your opposing party or opponent or even somebody that just thinks you're wrong bring a criminal suit against you, or any kind of a suit, when you leave office. I have that right now at a level that nobody's ever seen before. I have rogue prosecutors, and I have rogue judges. I have judges that are out of control. And it's a very unfair thing for me, but I'm serving perhaps as a sample to others of what should not be happening. When you make good decisions, and in my case, the economy was great. We didn't go into any wars. We totally defeated ISIS. We provided the largest tax cuts in history. We provided the largest regulation cuts in history. But think of it, no wars. We beat ISIS 100% of the caliphate. Then there were no wars. We did a job that was great, but maybe I wouldn't have done that. The caliphate, defeating them, was very powerful. It was going to take 4 years. It took me 4 months. But it was a very strong dictum that I gave. I said, get them, defeat them, end it. We were fighting for 20 years against ISIS, and we did it very quickly. I don't want to be prosecuted. In that case, it worked out very well. There will be some things that perhaps don't work out so well, but I don't want to be prosecuted because I decided to do something that is very much for the good of the country and actually for the good of the world. A president shouldn't have that on his mind, and he has to have a free and clear mind when he makes very big decisions, or it's going to be nothing more than a ceremonial post. You'll be president, it'll be a wonderful thing, and you won't do anything because you don't want to be hit by your opponent or hit by somebody else, because who wants to leave office and go through what I've gone through? I'm being prosecuted by Biden, my opponent, because every one of these things, whether it's Fannie Willis or Bragg, these are local and state, but they're in total coordination with the White House. You can't do that. It shouldn't be done. I mean, a thing like that, in the case of the DA's office, they put one of the top people, maybe the second person, in the Manhattan DA's office to get Trump. They had a Hillary Clinton lawyer leave the law firm, very prestigious big law firm, leave the law firm to go into the DA's office to get Trump, Pomerantz, Mr. Pomerantz. So he goes in to become a prosecutor, worked for the Democrat Party and Hillary Clinton, goes in to prosecute Donald Trump at a local level, in total coordination with the Department of Justice, meaning Biden.
You know, did you hear, well, you heard what he said, and please consider his words carefully. The office of the presidency lacking the inherent immunity that presidents have enjoyed and exercised since the founding of our republic is at stake here. And that position of the presidency would be reduced to nothing but a figurehead, a non-functioning, really, just a ceremonial position where nothing gets done. Who benefits from that? His words, and you would think that the 9-0 decision, he would be very happy for that. And of course, he expected to win that, as we all did. But there's a bigger play that's taking place right now, a bigger strategic move. This is rather cerebral, I suppose, really for you, for people, for all of us to really comprehend. Because as he indicated, as he stated and suggested, there's a curtain and a man behind the curtain. Men behind the curtain. Currently, our nation right now is in peril. Because it's obvious Biden, that cognitively impaired, oatmeal for brains guy, he's not calling the shots. And much was made by Maddow and others on the left. I'm not going to play the clips. I'm going to spare you that. Oh, well, he got the name of the current president wrong. He kept saying, oh, Obama, Obama. You know, I listened to those, to his speeches. I'm not so sure he really didn't intend to say Obama. That being at least the man behind that small curtain in the White House. This is indeed Obama's third term, because Obama promised to fundamentally change our nation. And he has done more damage along with George H.W. and George W. Bush than every president before combined, maybe with the exception of Woodrow Wilson. This is what we're up against. We're up against an enemy that in the face of defeat will come back and attempt to strike each and every one of us, including and especially President Trump, harder. We have to understand that. For example, page 1 in the show notes. Oh, this big scoop, as it's really, is this really a scoop? That insane, that absolute, well, you know what? Maybe he's not insane. That schemer, Jamie Raskin, top Democrat working on bill responding to Trump ballot ruling. Have you seen this? Have you seen what they're hey, you know what we're going to do? We're going to legislate. We're going to, since we have the majority in the Senate, and certainly a very close minority in the House, Congress is going to have to try to act, essentially to contravene the Supreme Court decision. And as a result, Jamie Raskin, this leading House Democrat per Axios, which of course he is preparing legislation in response to that Supreme Court decision on Monday. Of course, that's in case you've been asleep. The decision said that Colorado could not disqualify former President Trump from their state ballot. And the reason, of course, President Trump was never charged with or never tried and convicted of insurrection or anything related to the 14th Amendment or Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, which is referenced in all of the talking heads, by all of the talking heads. And Axios says, well, you know, why it matters. Well, the ruling determined that only Congress can enforce the language of in the 14th Amendment, barring anyone who engaged in insurrection from holding federal office. Folks, that's what the troublesome language in that bill, or in that, I'm sorry, in that decision, that's what I've been referring to, that troublesome language. Sure, the end result is a victory, but that victory leaves the door open pursuant to the current Supreme Court and even Amy Comey Barrett saying, hey, you want to do something about this? It's got to go through Congress. Congress will have to try and act, Jamie Raskin from Maryland said, the ranking member of the House Oversight Committee, which, by the way, I'll opine is laughable on its face, but Raskin, a former member of the January 6th unselect illegitimate committee, said he's already working, crafting the bill. I'm working on it. I'm working on it today. And he pointed to legislation where he introduced with Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Remember Imran Awan? Remember the Awan brothers? I spoke about this at great length when I had my radio show. Everything that the Awan brothers did with Wasserman Schultz, or the other way around, in the actions of the Capitol Police with respect to evidence that could possibly spell trouble for Wasserman Schultz and other members of Congress. And by trouble, I'm talking about treasonous, seditious trouble. But he pointed to legislation he introduced with Wasserman Schultz in 2022, creating a pathway for the Justice Department to sue to keep candidates off the ballot under the 14th Amendment. Again, this is 2 years old. 2 years they've been working on this. And do you not think that they didn't expect to lose on this case, this ground ball of a case? We're going to revise it, he said, in light of the Supreme Court's decision. Now they've got something to work with. Now we can push it through Congress. Because you do have enough compromised people on the so-called right and definitely the communists on the left to get this through. Raskin suggested the bill would be paired with a resolution declaring January 6th an insurrection and that those involved engaged in the insurrection. It's necessary to do that. And of course, Axios points out, well, the bill is going to face almost certain stonewalling in the House, where even moderate swing distant Republicans like Mike Lawler from New York are cheering the Supreme Court's ruling. But that's, again, that's only part of the story. Dig deeper. Think bigger. Understand we have enemies inside our nation. Raskin did say, I don't have a lot of hope that Johnson will allow us to bring enforcement legislation to the floor, but we have to try to do it. And they will try, and they will continue to try, and they will continue to assault the liberty, well, the will of the American people. They will continue to try to destroy our constitutional republic. And if you're not angry about this, if you are not concerned about this, folks, you need to be. Again, understand the most dangerous time in history is right now, at least modern history. Some say the Civil War. You know, we've lived through, we were birthed from the Revolutionary War, and we lived through the Civil War. But I don't think we've ever had a hybrid war where there's a revolution taking place against the haves and the so-called elites while they have lit the embers of hatred among the American people, which we're seeing today. To set the stage, the bigger stage here, I saw this. I watched it a couple of times. Steve Gruber, good guy. Good guy, really. This is cut five. It's 3 minutes long, but it encapsulates the bigger picture. And as I tried to process my thoughts, so many thoughts and so much information, and to really grasp what I've learned, I saw this and I thought, this does represent, I think, what a lot of people perhaps can relate to, and I can relate to. So I want to share this with you. This is, they are calling evil good. This is cut five, show notes, HagmanPI.com. And this is Real America's Voice, Steve Gruber. Go ahead.
So I've spent the last week pointing out all the ways the Democrats are trying to destroy this country. There's no shortage of examples. It's increasingly reminding me of a Bible verse, Isaiah 5:20, which goes like this. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. People who call evil good and good evil have been a problem all throughout human history, as evidenced by that passage. That's exactly what a lot of the Democrat politicians in Washington are doing right now. And for most of them, it's not that they're misguided or confused. No, they know exactly what they're doing. They want to tear down the most moral system of government the world has ever known, or something much less moral, all because they want one thing, power. In fact, Victor Davis Hanson explains quite clearly that they are executing the plan, and everything you see happening is by design. Listen.
Obama never moved the country as left as he wanted to. He was too timid, and he felt that he wasn't yet ready. He would hurt his legacy if he didn't get reelected or what. It was too dangerous. So now, with Joe Biden, he's living his dream. Remember what he said? He's on tape. My dream is to phone in the presidency. I would like to have a third term, but not if I had to work. I would just like to sit in my basement and just tell people what's going to do. And that, he said it, and that's what he's doing. Right now, the Obamas are running the country. When my point is, they want Joe Biden the way he is because he's a construct. He's just a cardboard person they cut out and they plopped him down in the basement and they make him move once in a while. And then they run all of the agencies. Obama's responsible for the border. He's responsible for the whole crime epidemic. This is what he wanted. And Biden was very useful.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats, mm-hmm. looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, wow. I'd be fine with
it. How can you argue with that? Just look around. Everything you see is by design. You couldn't destroy this country more thoroughly if you tried, and, well, they're trying. Take the southern border, for example. Obviously, the Biden administration and the Democrats are doing all of that on purpose, clearly. And we know President Biden is lying when he says he can't do anything about it, because we all know if he enforces the laws on the books right now, he could put a stop to all of it. Yet he refuses to do so. And not only does he refuse to do it, he lies about why he won't enforce our law, which I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure is exactly immoral.
That was Steve Gruber. I think that encapsulates a lot of what people are seeing and feeling. Now, the United States as a constitutional republic based on the last, well, ever since January of 2021, ever since this communist regime stole the election through with the help of the NGOs, with the help of various individuals, billionaires, organizations, the Zuckerbergs of the world, the Soroses of the world, people who have cut their teeth on other nations, even our intelligence community being a part of coups in other countries. With their help, they have changed our nation in the last 3 years. But they've also changed the tenor, the world. As I mentioned, if you can put that picture up, this to them is absolutely okay. This is a frame capture from Obama's Leaving the World Behind. And this, I find it rather interesting. Obama would have an interest in an apocalyptic scenario like this. To me, he's telegraphing his desires. Or maybe not his desires, but hey, we would rather have power over the ashes than not have power over the country. This is what we're facing, but it's not just on the national scale. If you've noticed, and I felt this as well, even though our country right now is filled with the communists and communist facilitators and satanic, and I mean that by the truest sense of the word, infiltrators and people who are involved in governing right now. They're participating in the fracturing, in the breaking, in the destruction that's taking place. That destruction that's been created or facilitated by corporations and NGOs and even the United Nations, of course, the subversive groups already in this country who have been in this country for decades and really even a century or more. The dystopian image that you saw could, to me, represents right now what will be taking place. And look, folks, I don't want to bum you out. I'm just telling you what I feel and based on my research is coming. And one of the indicators, because too, the southern border was mentioned by Steve Gruber as well. I'm going to get to that momentarily, but I want you to understand one thing as well. There are people who can see what's taking place, people that are the puppets of the marionettes, and in some cases, people who are controlling the shots, calling the shots, who are, they can see the writing on the wall. Look, this MAGA movement, America First movement, the deplorables, hey, they're getting a little bit upset that there's this uprising. And what we've done globally is being exposed. Case in point, today, Victoria Nuland, Undersecretary of State, but the architect of everything going on in Ukraine right now, is resigning. She's jumping ship. She can see the writing on the wall. Let's go to cut one. Bannon today about the resignation of Victoria Nuland, the architect of Ukraine. Cut one.
Victoria Nuland, preserve your documents and lawyer up, baby, because we are coming for you. You are the fountainhead of everything about this Ukraine situation.
I'm telling you right now, Steve Bannon, 13 seconds, said it all. And he realizes, as do others, that these rats, Victoria Nuland is a human filth, and she has got the blood on her hands of every Ukrainian and Russian, but Ukrainian, the blood is on her hands. Hers, Obama's, if you understand that entire Maidan revolution and so on. Oh, what about the Nord Stream pipeline and the people who are suffering from that? Who do you think probably signed off on that? That's right, Tory. Jabba the Hutt. Got to cut two if you can. This is 20 seconds. Speaking of Nord Stream. All right. Again, Victoria Nuland, you've got blood on your hands. And you know what? If you escape justice in this world, and I certainly hope you don't, I truly believe you will find justice from God Almighty. And for that, you better be prepared. Here it is.
With regard to Nord Stream 2, we continue to have very strong and clear conversations with our German allies. And I want to be clear with you today. If Russia invades Ukraine, one way or another, Nord Stream 2 will not move forward.
Poof! It's gone! She says it, and it's gone. This is not, again, it's not me saying it. They're saying it. They're telling us what they're going to do and doing it, and we're looking like, oh, okay. And some people just don't get it at all. And even worse, if you go back to 2014, the Obama regime, the Clinton State Department, Victoria Nuland, Jeff Priot, talking about, hey, you know what? We're going to use the U.S. intelligence community as well as others, but we're going to form the Ukrainian government. Screw the Ukrainians. We're going to, I'm going to shape it in my image for my benefit and for Biden's self-enrichment. Remember, Biden was the VP. We talk about Ukraine. By the way, it was never Russiagate. I mean, it was. But what Russiagate was, it was all Ukraine and the money laundering and everything about Ukraine then and now, despite what that punk piece of crap Rob Reiner and everyone who has a Ukraine flag, a Ukraine pin, a Ukraine feel-good, what do you call those things, little pictures on their bios? You're idiots. You're all idiots. And I'll tell you how bad of an idiot you are. Here's Victoria Nuland, cut three, in 2014, talking to Jeffrey Priot about who should make up the government of Ukraine after the Maidan coup. And don't forget, she brought the cookies. And again, you've got to understand the history. But she's a cookie lady of Ukraine, so everything must be fine. But listen to her talk in this recorded conversation about Ukraine.
Cut I don't three. Think Cleach should go into the government. I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a good idea.
In terms of him not going into the government, just let him sort of stay out and do his political homework and stuff. I'm just thinking, in terms of sort of the process moving ahead, we want to keep the moderate Democrats together. The problem is going to be Tonnybrook and his guys. And, you know, I'm sure that's part of what Yanukovych is calculating on all of this.
I think Yats is the guy who's got the economic experience, the governing experience. He's the guy, you know, what he needs is Cleach and Tonnybrook on the outside. He needs to be talking to them four times a week, you know.
I just think Klitsch going in, he's going to be at that level working for Yatsenyuk. It's just not going to work. I don't think Klitsch.
And by the way, that what that doesn't contain is F the EU. F the EU. That was for extra credit that she said that. So what's happening in the U.S. By these communists who are governing things, and by the way, going to go into overtime, so going to drop Global Star at this point, but no, they were already dropped. I'm late to the game again, late to the party again. This is a global situation. This and that's why, again, upon my return and reflection, knowing what I know, and the dystopian situation of the entire world, and when you think about Russia and China and their allies, and they're all watching the U.S., by the way, self-destruct and acting accordingly. That's why we see the global instability. And that's why the United Nations has this, because of Joe Biden, his regime, really Obama as the middleman, but the people, the Council of 100, the Council of 300, the trilaterals, the Council on Foreign Relations, all of these other groups who are calling the shots, who are above you, and we're just the plebes of these people. We're just the nothings, the deplorables, because the Clintons, who are coming back into fashion, by the way, for 2024, you know, Michelle Obama, maybe, who knows, but certainly Hillary Clinton could possibly come back. Who knows? Who knows what's going to, or they can ride out Biden, and I'm talking about the 2024 election since today's Super Tuesday, but this is a global issue. As evidenced by Ukraine. And isn't it interesting, the timing of everything, how Russia moved on Ukraine. Well, let me rephrase that, how NATO moved on Russia and Russia responded, okay? And how Ukraine moved on Russia and how Russia responded. And how Victoria Nuland, who was in the thick of it and calling the shots and being a part of it, now is jumping the government ship. But I guarantee you one thing, you have not seen the end of Gloria, of Victoria Nuland. You have not seen the end of her. She'll arise at some university or some NGO or some related corporation to claim her prize, her money, her compensation for the havoc that she caused, for the killing that she's responsible for. That woman should, in my particular view, should swing from the end of a rope if ever convicted for her crimes, of which there are many. I put her right up there with John Brennan. I put her right up there with Obama. I put her right up there with Satan himself. As it stands here with the United States, folks, again, I've got to get into, and then I'm going to cut it off here. You need to wake up. The southern border, by the way, as is the northern border to a lesser extent, but the southern border, we are bringing people in. When I say we, I'm talking about the communist government, the Biden regime, the Obama regime. I'm talking about the United Nations and the bended knees of the feds to these organizations. We're bringing people into this country who will destroy it and who will kill maybe members of your own family, maybe you, but it's all by design. But you need to wake up. That's the title of Cut 6. It's a 3-minute video excerpt. This is a national security issue. This, I believe, is Ben Birkbaum and Oscar Ramirez. And I believe this is also from Real America's Voice. If not, my apologies in advance. This is Cut 6.
Birkbaum is on the ground now, Panama City, Panama. He's been down there in the Darien Gap, exposing the harsh realities of what's really happening. What really happens when illegals continue to flood north. It's not near as pretty as the Biden administration would have you believe. Joining me live now is Ben Birkbaum. Ben, good to have you here. So tell me about all those newcomers on their way to the southern border. Nice term, right?
Yeah, no, it's, you know, it used to be illegal aliens, and then it was migrants, and then it was, I think for a while they were calling them non-citizens, and now it's newcomers. They just keep changing the name to sound, make them sound better and better, but in reality, they are invaders. They are it's an insurgency. We are being taken over from within, but it's really not even the illegals that are coming through that are the really bad ones, although there are some really bad ones coming through. It's the people that are inviting them. It's the leftists, the NGOs, the United Nations, and all of these globalist communists that are inviting them that are changing the names that are the real big problem.
Now, I saw some footage of you and Oscar down the Darien Gap. You ran into about 50 people right there in the middle of the night coming through. I saw this video just yesterday, I guess, post on social media. You and Oscar down there rolling up your sleeves, finding out what's really going on. Tell us about what you ran into, what you discovered there in the jungle.
Well, so I was actually sleeping at the moment. When we first got there, there were group after group after group coming through, women and children, mostly from Venezuela, kind of what you're expecting. And then I actually, Oscar, standing off to my left right now, he woke me up in the middle of the night. He said, Ben, come out here. There's a big group that was trying to sneak by. And so we go out, we go across the river, and sure enough, there's this group of over 50 males from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, from Sri Lanka, and a huge number from India, many of whom were being told from Border Patrol, many people saying they're coming from India, but they're actually from Pakistan. All of this going on in the middle of the night, trying to bypass Border Patrol. And Oscar, I don't know if you want to jump in on that. I mean, it's wild. You talk about a national security threat.
Exactly. Well, that is, Steve, I don't know, to the American public, I don't know if this is not a national security issue. What is it? Really, 50 plus men being smuggled in the middle of the night through the jungle by the Colombian cartel, which, by the way, has grown massively through other continents, and they're smuggling. This is a global business for them, and it is continuing through NGOs and to non-governmental and to the United Nations and all these international organizations. But if this is not a national security threat, 50 plus men from the Middle East, from parts like Pakistan, India, Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, you know, all of these places, and not that, not even that, a week ago, people from Afghanistan also that in a boat that were capsized, that were being smuggled from Colombia into Panama. I don't know what is it. To the American public, you need to wake up. This is a national security issue in your borders, what is happening right now.
Oh, but it gets much, much, much worse. Page one from the show notes. You remember the CPB1 app that was supposed to streamline at least Biden's explanation or Obama's explanation? And I'm kind of on the same side of Bongino with respect to the calling this the deep state. It's not the state. It's not only the state. These are foreign actors. These are foreign corporations. These are billionaires like Zuckerberg, like Gates and others. Soros, of course. These are going back to the think tanks like the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Relations, and others who are the mental engine behind this. But the CPB1 app, remember that? This gets even worse. This is page one. Joe Biden has secretly flown 320,000 criminals, not illegal immigrants, but criminals. This is a post from Colin Rugg on Twitter. From Latin American airports to 43 U.S. cities. Now, let that sink in for a second. 300. This is over and above what you can see coming across the southern border. You have got open treason by that son of a bitch. And every son of a bitch that's involved in this, whether you are just sweeping up the floor after these people, or whether you're piloting the planes, or whether you are serving the meals, you are engaged in treason. And you should be, in my view, treated accordingly. And Mayorkas, that Cuban communist cueball piece of shit, needs to be held to account for this. And if this doesn't piss you off, I don't know what level. I have no idea what would piss you off. 320,000 illegal immigrants from Latin American airports to 43 U.S. cities. Don't you want to know what 43 U.S. cities, where they're going, and who these people are, and why it's done in secret? The U.S. Customs and Border Protection, they are refusing to identify which airports they're being shipped to. Here's what I suggest. If you have time and you're looking for something to do, put those airports, your local airport, go down there. Go down there at 1, 2, 3, 4 in the morning. Grab yourself a cup of coffee on the way. In fact, Hagman coffee. Make a cup of Hagman coffee before you go down. And take a camera with you. And see if there are suddenly flights appearing at one of these 43 cities. I don't know which 43 cities, but I'll tell you one trip I'm going to be making to my local airport. And it's going to be the first night, it might be from 1 to 3. The second night, it might be from 2 to 4 a.m. But I'll be there. And there's not a damn person that will tell me to get the hell out. But the program at the center, writes Colin Rugg, the program at the center of FOIA litigation is perhaps the most enigmatic and least known of this Biden regime use of CBP1 cell phone scheduling app, even though it's responsible for almost invisibly importing by air 320,000 aliens with no legal right to enter the U.S. since it got underway in late 2022. These people are sedition. You talk about sedition and treason and insurrection. That's what we are right now engaged. That's what's happening right now. And under these legally dubious, to be charitable, I should add, parole programs, these criminals who cannot legally enter the country use this app, the CBP1 app, to apply for travel authorization and temporary humanitarian release from those airports. You can see the buses. I saw one at Erie International Airport, Tom Ridge Field. I was there in the middle of the night and followed them to a center, a one-time sports center in the county. Young, unaccompanied minors that were left, and suddenly they disappeared. Where did they go? I asked naively. Well, we don't know. We don't know. The hell you don't. You too, the owner, the operator, the manager, the janitor, the person who sweeps the parking lot, you're engaged in treason. By the way, the parole program allows for 2-year periods of legal status during which adults are eligible for work authorization. And writes Colin Rugg, the last word is insane. Insane? It's deliberate destruction of our constitutional republic. How does that connect with what I started with the 9-0 decision? It is to guarantee that when Trump wins, by a margin that they cannot even fathom. They cannot hide, although they will try, or they'll try to kill him, or they'll try to incapacitate him, or the whatever the case might be. It's to guarantee the destruction of this country. The 9-0 decision is just, to paint like a happy smiley. Remember the smiley faces of the 70s? That's what that decision was. That's to clear the way for the immunity to decision, which would decapitate our executive branch. Does this make sense to you? Now bringing in all of these people engaged in the insanity now, engaged in this invasion now. Lastly, I want to quickly go to these cuts very quickly. If we can get through all of them, I'm not sure I can. Cut A, Dan Bongino yesterday, I reference him often, and that's for a reason, because he is right on target. He's got the receipts. He's got the goods. He's got the proof. He's worked inside the White House. He's worked protection details. He's worked as a federal air marshal. He has done the job. He knows of that of which he speaks. Plus, he's got contacts. Listen to cut A. This is about 4 minutes in length, but every word is important. Even the not-so-nice ones. So if you have children in the room, ask them to leave. Here is cut A.
I want to play this treacherous bullshit from our hack, tyrannical DHS secretary in name only, Alejandro Mayorkas, the most disgusting piece of human filth to ever occupy this office. A guy who has personally overseen an invasion, an invasion of the United States. The record isn't broken. A guy who has personally overseen the destruction of the United States and loves it. He is a sociopathic liar, the equivalent of Joe Biden, and that's saying a lot. I want you to listen to him on one of these weekend programs, suggesting here that with illegal immigrants, when they're caught, they're prioritizing deportation for the most dangerous people. You mean like people accused of rape? Because I got a personal story that's going to blow that shit out of the water. Listen to this absolute piece of garbage. Lie right to your face first. Check this out.
Lakin Riley in the state of Georgia was murdered allegedly by an undocumented Venezuelan migrant. The suspect had been detained by Border Patrol upon crossing, released with temporary permission to stay in the country. He then went on allegedly to commit crimes twice, once in New York for driving a scooter without a license and once in connection with a shoplifting case in Georgia. Did those states and their law enforcement communicate to the federal government that this had happened? Should this man have been deported?
A few thoughts. First, Margaret, first and foremost, an absolute tragedy, and our hearts break for and our prayers are with the family, number one. Number two, and importantly, as a prosecutor, having prosecuted violent crime and other crimes for 12 years, one individual is responsible for the murder, and that is the murderer. And we work very closely with state and local law enforcement to ensure that individuals who pose a threat to public safety are indeed our highest priority for detention and removal.
Okay, that's some serious bullshit. There it is. That is some hardcore bullshit. 15 yards, bullshit, DHS secretary, horse collar tackle. That's bullshit. You now have a guy in the country who was here, a Venezuelan, who is the lead suspect in a case of Lake and Riley where her head was bashed in. No one seemed to prioritize his removal after bullshit artist Mayorkas said they were prioritizing. One, and no one should be here illegally. But no, we're prioritizing the really meanies. Really? Before or after they bash someone's heads in? Fuck stick! Before or after? You piece of shit liar. Before or after they bash people's heads in? Before or after the head bashing starts? piece of shit. Fucking liar. Fuck that guy. I'm sorry. You don't like the language today? I'm sorry. Fuck that guy. He is a lying piece of shit. Is this before or after the head bashing starts and the raping? Is it after the raping? Let me tell you who they prioritize for deportation. People who embarrass them politically. That's it. How do I know? Because it happened this weekend. And this piece of shit is a liar. Let me tell you something right now. And if you think this is some shtick I put on for the show, you don't know me. This guy, Mayorkas, and his boss, Joe Biden, are getting people killed right now. There are people being killed, robbed, raped, murdered, drug trafficked, sex trafficked because of those two. Pieces of shit. And again, I'm deeply sorry if the language makes you uncomfortable, but that.
He goes on. I'm going to spare the rest of the clips. In fact, you can go to Hagman PI and you can listen to the rest. What brought that on, obviously, was the murder of Laken Riley. And by the way, say her name. You notice how mad owl, that mad cow, they don't say her name. You notice how AP, for example, reports that it was an Athens resident responsible for the murder of Laken Riley. It wasn't an illegal alien at the very least. It wasn't a criminal invader. No, it was an Athens resident. But as he explains in his county, I'm looking at the clock here. Go ahead and play cut B if we can, if it's still up. If you can do it? All right. I want him to explain why this hit home with him. Go ahead. It's cut B.
County, a small county in Florida. I live in a small town, a medium-sized town. I don't want to be dramatic, but everybody knows each other here. Martin County, Florida is not big. Believe me, it's not Palm Beach. It's not Brevard. It's not Miami. It's a medium-sized county. I live in a medium-sized little town in this county. Everyone knows each other. When someone calls you and goes, they're going to release a guy wanted for rape into the community who's here illegally, you're like, wait, what? I've got a 12-year-old daughter who's going to be roaming the streets with a dude wanted for rape. Because ICE doesn't want to do shit? I'm like, no way. Because I know my sheriff is awesome. And he is. But ladies and gentlemen, there was nothing the man could do. Here's the Facebook page from Martin County Sheriff's Office. The guy's amazing. The sheriff here is incredible. I'm just going to throw that out there now because I know this guy personally. He says, undocumented man with warrants for rape out of Oregon to be released from the Martin County jail. I would call him an illegal alien because that's what he is, but whatevs. 26-year-old man Juan Jose Sebastian, a man who was arrested in Martin County for never having a license. Not suspended, Joe, not a terminated license. Never had a license, according to this Facebook page, but driving anyway, will soon walk out of the Martin County jail a free man. Even though he has a warrant out of Washington County, Oregon, for three counts of rape and sexual abuse. Sounds like a real rock star. You're right, Keith. This afternoon, Sheriff Bill Snyder learned that ICE will not take custody of the undocumented Guatemalan immigrant, and Washington County, Oregon will not extradite from Florida. As a result, the wanted rapist will be released into our community today. There is no legal way for the sheriff's office to continue holding Jose Sebastian as he completed his sentence for the charge of driving without a valid license. What the fuck is happening to our country? Do you see why I say I hate these people in D.C. and they hate you? All of them. They hate you. They are tools. That is it. When they do something good, great. They were a good tool. They were a hammer for you. When they screw your life up, which is the majority of the time, shit like this happens. Now, I got kind of the scoop on this. Well, the guy has since been picked up because, and let me tell you something. Listen, let me kind of tranquilo for a second. It's my heart rate. I can feel it. It's already going crazy. I'm getting that aura notification. Your blood pressure's out of control again. I got from a number of people that when I put this on my Twitter and Facebook page, because we have millions of people like you in the chat. Don't for a second downplay your role in this. I put this on my Twitter, True Social, and Facebook. And in less than an hour, it had probably 500,000 to a million views. And from what I was told, after that, ICE was embarrassed into finally coming and taking possession of this guy, who I heard has an order for final removal. I'm going to ask you a simple question. If we cannot as a country deport someone here illegally, driving on our roads who never had a license, a public safety menace, who's wanted for rape, and who has a final removal, then who the fuck ever are you going to deport? Who is ever going to get deported?
That's why he was upset, obviously. Because in his county was a three-time rapist that the sheriff could not, he had to release. He's got a 12-year-old daughter. He's got a wife. And we all have family. That's not just happening in Martin County, Florida. That's happening in all counties across the United States. All of them. The question, the final question I have, and the reason it is so sobering today to realize after processing the information that I've learned, what are we going to do about this? And I don't want to hear people say, well, we can't talk like that because they might get the wrong idea. Look, it doesn't matter. They're coming after all of us. And we have to stand up for not just our safety, but the safety of our children and our grandchildren. And if you don't do it, there will be no one who will do it. If you don't go out to your airport and conduct your own surveillance, no one else is going to do it. If you don't ask questions, no one else is going to ask those questions. And if you don't raise your voice, make a stink, contact your legislatures, contact your county council people, whatever you need to do, do it. Because your life is on the line. Absolutely 100%. And if you don't give a crap about your life, I certainly hope you care about those lives of your children and your grandchildren. Because this is in your county. This is in your community. And maybe this is a strong, too strong of a message, too strong of a program today. But I ask that you share this. Yes, even with all of the profanity, share it. Because if we don't act right now, I guarantee you we will not have the opportunity in months from now. I guarantee you we must act now. You've got to go to the airports. You've got to go to the holding centers. You've got to go to your sheriff. You've got to go to the people who are in charge, so to speak. And you've got to put them on the hot seat. But you've got to act, and you've got to act now. Otherwise, there won't be any time to act. You will not have another chance. And you're giving up your children and their future to a life of unfathomable, satanic, gripping horror. I hate to leave on that note, but I'm out of time. I want to thank everyone for tuning in. And you know, hey, I ask you subscribe to Rumble. Some do, some don't. I don't know. Post this on social media, please. Spread the word.